The evidence of the eyewitness testimony within the Gospels is overwhelming. There is no doubt that the modern church in America has failed its people by not teaching them the earliest stages of church history. Apostolic succession paved the way to preserve the New Testament text.
Welcome to another episode of Facts, and Happy New Year to everybody. Welcome to 2024 and also this new episode and season of episodes that are on the way. We're excited about what the Lord is doing with the ministry. Good things happening on the Explore Christianity side, and there's also good things happening with organizing different content, guest speakers, doing different works with other partnering ministries and apologetics channels. All that is coming up, both on the YouTube channel as well as on our channel here on Facts. And having a new co-host now with Tyler West, we're working through different series. We're in a little mini series here and there. We did the Baptist Trail of Blood myth, and we're also about to finish up Ignatius of Antioch and his seven letters that he wrote. But we're going to continue to do things just like that, and hopefully you'll continue to tune in and enjoy the content that we're putting out. I've got a couple episodes left to finish up a long series that I've been doing just kind of in increments on the 12 apostles, particularly there's 14 we're doing because we added Paul and Judas and also Matthias into the equation. But again, we really hope that you guys are having a tremendous beginning of a new year and had a good ending to 2023. Now, I'm sure that there are those that are listening to this that may have had some struggles at the end of the year, at the end of the season, family losses and things like that. I mean, there's been some tragic stories over the last few weeks, and we trust that God will give you the grace that you need to move forward. And moving into what we're doing today kind of encourages things like that. I want to talk about John Chrysostom's homily for the new year. Now, keep in mind, Chrysostom in the fourth century, they're looking at New Year's a little bit different than us. When they talk about the New Year, there were, yes, pagan rituals that came a part of the new moon on New Year's Day and things like that. And he was not opposed to them actually acknowledging the day. He acknowledges the fact that there's celebration involved, there's reflection involved, the very same things that we would probably do. I don't think they were shooting fireworks off to 2 o'clock in the morning. Maybe some of you had some late night eye-opening experiences in your bed like we did here with fireworks going off from 7 at night to 2 in the morning. But with that, there was celebrations. And unfortunately, and even in our culture, some of it involved heavy amounts of drinking. That's why he talks about strong drink does not produce delight, but spiritual prayer, not wine, but a learned word. And he's not saying in any way that enjoying some level of alcohol is wrong or anything like that. I think the fathers are replete demonstrating that they enjoyed the fruit of the vine, just as the New and Old Testament teaches. But the abuse of it, and especially in the practice of celebration, is where most abuses take place when you're talking about drinking or heavy drinks that bring your mind into a state of disappearance where your sobriety is gone, your focus is gone. That's why he makes the statement, a learned word is better than wine, because you can actually function, you can think, you can apply, you can add something to your life. But there's no doubt based on this statement that these celebrations, these feasts on the new beginning of a year, on a calendar year, led to celebrations that went too far. So what he does in this homily is Chrysostom decides that he's going to actually paint for us a better way to celebrate the new year. And I appreciate that when looking at him, because he takes Paul's teachings of 1 Corinthians 5, he also takes other aspects of Paul's teachings to the Corinthians, and he deals with our celebrations. Where should we spend the most time celebrating? Chrysostom says this in the homily, for the Christian ought not to hold feast, not for months or new moons or the Lord's Day, but continually through life to conduct a feast that is befitting him, that is to God. What is the feast that benefits God? Let us listen to Paul speaking. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor by the leaven of evil and wickedness, but by the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What he's saying is the whole Christian life becomes a celebration, not just a mere day, not just a mere moment, or something in the universe makes an altering change, like a new moon or something like that. This is not the time that we pause and say, oh, okay, let's celebrate. We have a reason to celebrate the world. And I'm going to show you in a minute why he has almost an Edenic mindset here, where we're celebrating the new life that we experience not once a year or a couple times a year, but every single day. And I love what he does here. He says, look, let's not hold a feast in a way where we only celebrate periodically. Let's celebrate the feast every day by putting on the new nature that we've been given in Christ and continually putting off the old man, the old nature of evil and wickedness, and continuing to feast on the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He said, if then you have a clean conscience, you hold a feast continually, nourished with good hope and reveling in the delight of good things to come. Let's pause right there and think about what he is saying. A person whose conscience is clear is constantly in a feast mode, celebratory, excitement. So folks, we look at the new year and we ask ourselves with Chrysostom, where are we in our conscience today between ourselves and the Lord? Because his acknowledgement here is that we would take a moment and reflect on what it means to hold a true feast. And he uses Paul as the illustration here to demonstrate to us that we need to find ourselves in a state of understanding where our hearts have been washed clean and our conscience has been cleaned by the pure word and the pure water. So I would say if we're going to start the new year, here's my first challenge. We take the Chrysostom challenge of the new year. Where's your conscience? Where's my conscience? So when the conscience has things in 2023 that we look back on and we say, well, I could have done this better. I could have done that better. Boy, I really blew it here in my time management. That's my struggle. I'm just going to admit that out loud. My time struggle is a big deal. I really do struggle with making sure I put the proper time in place for my wife and my children because I'm a busy person. I'm surrounded by things all the time. And so when we deal with these things, we must ask ourselves this question. How do I fare in my mindset on the year of 2023 when it comes to how I use my time, I spent it with others, and I acknowledged the things in my life that needed change? Did I repent? Did I change? Did I progress? Did I show remorse? Did I seek restoration, reconciliation with those that are around me? If not, my acknowledgement and my admonition would be that of what John Chrysostom is giving. Celebrate the feast with a clear conscience by beginning the year with repentance. You can't go back and change 2023. You can't add a single minute to it or remove a minute from it. You can't go back and have conversations that you should have had. You can't go back and talk to people in the moments God provided that you chose to squander or I chose to squander. We can't go back in time and change the past, but we can begin a new beginning, a new one, with a clear conscience from repentance on January 1st, 2024. So I would admonish, as would John Chrysostom, that we celebrate today with a clear conscience. And the only way to do that is if we haven't sought repentance in 2023, the things that we needed to repent of in 2023, as the Lord brings them to mind, we repent of them today. He also says, nourishing yourself with good hope and reveling in the delight of good things to come. Now, we don't know what's awaiting us in 2024. Folks, it could be the worst year of your life. I mean, let's just be real. It could be the best year of your life. It could be the most prosperous year of your life. It could be the most prosperous year in your job. It could be the most prosperous year in your church life and in your family with your relationships. You might create some of your life-changing friendships this year. Some of you might get married this year. Some of you might meet the woman or man of your dreams. I mean, there's a lot of good things that could be awaiting you in 2024. We don't know what awaits us. But we know this. Here's what believers have that others may not. Believers have hope. In life or death, what is our greatest hope? And that is that we belong to God and He belongs to us. We are not our own. We belong to Him. In life or death. And by that, folks, we should not and do not need to worry about the bad things that are going to come. Because let's be real, every single person that's listening to this today, you're going to experience some level of disturbance, some level of struggle, some level of hurt. There's going to be some brokenness this year, folks. And those that are watching this live, I'm going to grab my charger over here just to bear with me. But continuing into this concept, I think that you and I need to spend our day thinking about, not worrying about, thinking about what comes in 2024, good or bad, life or death. We are not our own. We belong to God. He provides, He cares, He loves. And if this be the year that God gives us the greatest blessings in all the years past in comparison to them, then so be it. But if it be that God puts us through struggle and we pray not, we pray God delivers us from these things, we pray that God would just take our hearts of anxiety in 2024, commit these things to Christ, and allow Him to reign supreme as King of 2024 and trust the sovereign hand of God. And we're going to see where Chrysostom brings this into the equation as well. So he's saying, let's revel and delight in the good things that are coming. In this year, God has blessings, even in the midst of the bads. I'm bad at this. I'm super bad at this. So that in times of struggle and chaos, I'm one of those people that typically becomes depressed and lets one bad thing ruin nine good things. And that's something that I need to work on this year. And I'm sure there's some people listening to this who may need to work on that as well. And that's between you and the Lord. But again, ask yourself, what do you delight in this year? What are you starting the year in anxiety or in prosperity? And I'm not talking about your circumstances, I'm talking about your conscience and your heart toward God. Because as Chrysostom says, we can celebrate the feast continually with a clear conscience and a hope that's unchanging and a delight in things to come. Then just as if you conducted yourself lacking boldness, you are liable for many sins. And if there be 10,000 feasts and holy days, you would be in no better state than those grieving. For what is the benefit of me of bright days if my soul is darkened in its conscience? If then wishes to gain some benefit from the new moon, do this. When you see the year ending, thank the Lord, because He has led you into the cycle of years. Here's what he's saying. Like, what good is it to celebrate and throw a party 10,000 times and have all these holy days, that by the end of the holy days and the end of the time, folks, you have a darkened heart? Again, the solution to this is that we would repent and bring our conscience to a state of heartening, a heart that loves God and loves others and seeks the right things. So again, I ask the question, folks. What do you think when you ponder today a whole new year? What is planned in your life to draw you closer to God in good and bad and all the things that take place in trial and tribulation and joy and delight and party? What things have you invested in your mind this calendar year? And my request, and again, my admonition is, we would do this. We would start this year with a clean conscience towards God, towards our families and relationships, to the best of our abilities, of course. And that we would not try to fill our calendars with things that don't clear the darkness out of the conscience. But rather, we would fill it with Christ's love and grace and mercy and goodness that He wants us to enjoy in His universe together with Him and others in His kingdom to advance His work, His will, and His way in all of His creation. That's worth partnering in. That's a feast worth celebrating. And I think that we would be wise to acknowledge the challenge from John Chrysostom that we would celebrate last year by doing right this year, so that when we go into 2025, we have less to repent and less to regret. So he says, we ought to thank the Lord because he's led us into a cycle of years. And we should, because realistically, folks, realistically, we did make it. And again, I realize some of you have struggled through this year. We all have had our downs and our ups. I think these things are to consider. I think these things are worth noting. I don't know what it is about New Year's that causes such great reflection, but I think it's a good thing. I think reflection is great. I think we all need to spend more time in our thoughts. I don't think it should be once a year. I don't think it should just be on New Year's. Consider Chrysostom on this, continuing as he goes down. And I love how he gets into this. Stab the heart, or that is the idea, is to prick the heart, ignite it, like stir it up. Reckon upon the time of your life and say to yourself, the days run and pass by. The years fill up. We have progressed much of the way. Now, folks, I struggle with this because as a 34-year-old, which some of you would see that as older and some of you would see that as young, I look back and I thought about this first thing this morning when I woke up. Where has the time gone? Where in the world has the time gone? The days truly have passed quickly. The years have filled up. It felt like just a year or two ago I was finishing undergrad, and it feels like just a few years before that I was finishing high school. I'm around high schoolers almost every day. I teach and I coach them. And every day I'm with them, I'm reminded about how far removed I am from those years. But it was a blink of an eye. He asked the question, what good is there for us to do? Will we not depart from here empty and deserted of all righteousness, and judgment is at the door, and the rest of life leads us to our old age? He's saying, we look at the future and it's easy to become depressed. It's like, well, I mean, death is inevitable, and all we're doing is aging away and decaying away slowly, knowing that judgment is at the end. So here's the challenge. These things contemplate on New Year's Day. This is Chrysostom. These from the circuit of the years recollect. Let us reckon the future day, no longer something spoken to us, that which was said to the Jews by the prophets. And he's going to quote from the Septuagint, the psalmist. Their days slipped away in vanity and their years with haste. May that never be said. May it never be said that our days slipped away in emptiness and waste, and our years fled in error. You see, there's no such thing as a wasted day when your conscience is clear. This is a challenge to me, if not to anybody else, reading Chrysostom here. I struggle with this. What do I see as a successful day? Well, it's typically circumstantial, and I think that's true of almost anybody listening to this. But that's not what makes a successful day. Was my conscience clear toward God? Was it a day of repentance, restoration? What kind of day did I have in relation to with God is the definition of success or vanity? He goes on to say, this is the feast which I mentioned, a continual one, the one that we talked about, the one that is a clear conscience. One not delayed by the passage of years, not limited by days. Whether you're rich or you're poor, you'll be able to celebrate in this way. For here there is no want of wealth or provision, but only virtue. Do you not have wealth? Well, whether you do or not, it's irrelevant, he's saying, because you have the fear of God, a treasure more fruitful than all the wealth. It's not consumed, not changed. You can't spend it up. See, to fear the Lord, to stand in a state where you fear God and love him, allows you and I to sit back. It allows you and I to think deeply about what a successful day and a successful life looks like. It's not on value of money. It's not on the value of possessions. You see, possessions can be consumed. That's what he just said. Circumstances can change, he says. Money can be spent. You could be irresponsible and lose all that you have. It's not substantial. But having a life that fears and reverences the Lord is a treasure more fruitful than any wealth. It can't be spent up. It doesn't change. Then here's his last challenge. I love this. Within this section, he says, look to heaven. Look to the heavens of heavens, the earth, the sea, the air, the different kinds of animals, the manifold plants, the whole nature of human beings. Consider the angels, archangels, the powers above. Recall all of these creatures of your master. It is this. It is. And so let's back up. He's challenging us to look beyond our world, to look to the sky, look to the heavens, look to the earth, look to the sea, the air. Look at all of creation, visible and invisible, the archangels, the powers. No matter your circumstance, no matter your life problem, no matter where you're at in your finances, your prosperity or lack thereof, we know the one who owns and created everything that was seen and unseen. Folks, this is the challenge of 2024 right here. Stop looking at your circumstances today and stop looking at the calendar for a minute. Stop looking at the things ahead of you. Look at the trees. The insects, the animals, humanity, the stars tonight, the rivers, the moving water, the oceans, the sun, the moon, and look at those things and say, my master has unlimited access to all things in this world. They are his, and I am his. And are we not more precious than the birds? Jesus said. Do you not mean more to my Father than these? Yes, the answer is yes. So then, he ends with this. It is thus not poverty to be a slave to the providential master. If you have him as your generous Lord, since he owns all this, since everything belongs to him, he is kind. He is generous. He's sovereign, folks. The years and days of our life belong to the Lord. 2024 is another day of the providential hand of God. It's another year of the providential hand of God. Let's look to creation. Let's take the challenge of John Chrysostom from the 4th century. Look around us and reflect on the beauty and the majesty of God and his creation, and allow ourselves to be impacted by the beauty of the master, by the provision of the master. He is not limited to take care of whatever we go through this year. And we cringe when we say that because we don't know what's coming. We don't know what's behind door number one, door number two, door number three. But if we realize that God can be found behind any door because he is sovereign, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. We have, what is our hope in life and death? That we are not our own. We belong to God. That's Catechism 101. We are not our own. We belong to God. And we are on a road and a path that where our master and shepherd leads, we follow. And where we fail to follow him and we sear our consciences, we confess and bring ourselves back to repentance and restoration to him. He will guide, direct, and deliver us from evil. This is the beauty of a challenge like this. This is the glory of such a text from John Chrysostom. And we should celebrate the feast, if you would, the new year, not by, yes, enjoy time, enjoy a good food. We're going to have wings later today. It's exciting. We're in a time of reflection and happiness and joy, and we should be. It's a new year, new opportunity. Take the challenges, go with them, folks. But start with, where am I between my conscience and the Lord? The days slipped away in vanity and the years with haste. May that not be said in 2024. May we take the homily of the new year that was challenged hundreds of years ago by John Chrysostom, be a challenge to us. And may we reflect on the prayer of our Lord that taught us, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May that prayer be the prayer of our hearts. May that prayer be a reflection that we would love others, forgiving others, and that we would look to God, look to our master who created all things and all of creation, who provides and protects, and that we would look to him daily for our daily bread. We would forgive others as he has forgiven us, and that he would lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one and the evil around us, because his is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. And by that, we reflect today on the beauty and the majesty of another year with our sovereign master and generous, giving Lord, who wants to provide and protect and give us another year of life to honor and glorify him and advance his kingdom in and through us. Well, folks, once again, happy new year to you and your family. May God bless you. I trust the Lord will do that. And all that you say and do, would you bring glory to God and reflect on these things? Grace and peace to you. God bless.